Now he would stop singing, and I would hear him laugh. Become an outlaw.
An outlaw?
That's right. They've driven me to it. I tried to run this ranch, but it just didn't work. I'm going back to the wild. One of these days, they'll be sorry.
But hey...
Goodbye, Drover. Take care of things. I'm sorry it has to end this way. Next time we meet, I won't be Hank the Cowdog. I'll be Hank the Outlaw. So long. And with that, I trotted off to a new life as a criminal, outcast, nomad, and wild dog. I made my way north, away from headquarters and up into the canyon country. If a dog was going to go back to the wild, that was the place to go. Funny how good it felt walking away from everything. The job, the responsibility, the constant worry. When I crossed the road there at the mailbox, I felt free for the first time in years. On the other side of the road, I stopped and looked back. Drover had followed me about 100 yards and stopped. He was watching. Maybe he thought I would change my mind and go back. Maybe he was waiting for me to tell him to come on. I didn't. I ran my eyes over the ranch I had loved and protected for so many years, waved farewell to Drover, and went on my way, singing this little song.
When I take a notion to swim me an ocean, or climb me a mountain, or kill me a bear, I'm never distracted or frightened or acted upon by your everyday worries or cares. But how do I do it? I don't know. I just don't have any idea. I just do it. Because of my job as the head of security, I must fight monsters and coyotes and coons. I rarely get whipped, seldom bloody my lip on the fists of subversive and criminal goons. But how do I do it? I don't know. I just don't have any idea. I just do it. And speaking of women, did I think to mention that I have a lady not too far from here? Miss Beulah the Collie, she loves me by golly, and often has spasms when I get too near. But how do I do it? I don't know. I just don't have any idea. I just do it. I reckon if God was inventing a bod that was certain to drive all the women insane, he'd probably demand that I sit down and hand him a list of the things. things that have brought me my fame. But how do I do it? I don't know. I just don't have any idea. I can't explain it. Can't be specific. But it could be that I'm just terrific.
Not bad, huh? Well, I wondered how Loper and Slim and Sally Mae would react when they figured out that I had resigned and moved on. I had an idea they'd be sorry. They'd realize how they'd done me wrong and misjudged me and accused me of terrible things I didn't do. I mean, all I did was eat a dead chicken. And she wasn't a bit deader when I finished than when I started. Maybe they'd cry. Why not? A lot of people cry over their dogs. They tell me that when Lassie and Rin Tin Tin were big on TV, people used to cry when they thought Lassie was in a jam he couldn't get out of, and when Rennie had got himself chewed up by a bear, and it appeared that he wouldn't pull out of it. People never realize just how important a dog is until it's too late. In life, we get yelled at and cursed and kicked around, but when we're gone, people wish they had us back. Yeah, they'd cry when they found out that old Hank had moved on, and they'd cry even harder when it dawned on them that their ranch was being protected, and I mean so-called protected, by Pete the Barn Cat and Drover the Chicken-Hearted. That would wring tears out of a Bodark post. Yep, they'd cry, and they'd say, "Oh, I wish we had Hanky back. He had his faults, but he was a good, honest dog. He won't be the same around here without him." Around sundown, they'd walk out into the pasture and call, "Here, Hank! Come on, Hanky, here, boy!" And you know what? I'd be up in them canyons, eating fresh meat instead of co-op dog food, listening to the sounds of nature, and enjoying peace and freedom. I'd hear them calling my name, begging me to come back, but I wouldn't go. They'd had their chance. I'd tried to go straight and live within the law, but they'd driven me to drastic measures, driven me to follow the Owl Hoot Trail and become an outlaw. Next morning, they'd get in the pickup and go driving around, checking all the spots where I used to hang out. The sewer, the gas tanks, the corral, the creek. But I wouldn't be there. Then they drive over to the neighbor's place. "Anybody seen Hank? We've lost our cow dog." "No? Well, we're offering a $500 reward to anyone who finds him." Then they'd start driving through the pastures, honking the horn and calling, "Hank, here, boy, come home. Hank, we miss you. We're sorry for everything we've done. We'll do anything if you'll just come home." Laying off in them canyons, I'd hear them calling. Peeking through the rocks, I'd see them driving slow across the pasture. But I wouldn't go back. Injustice had changed me, turned me bitter, and snapped something inside me. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about when I turned my back on the ranch forever and hit the Owl Hoot Trail. They say you're not supposed to feel good about other people's misfortunes, but I got to admit that it gave me considerable wicked pleasure to know that I had left them weeping, and that with me gone, the ranch was going to fall apart real quick. That's the kind of satisfaction that dog food and a flea collar just won't buy. Must have been late afternoon when I reached the wild country, up near the head of one of them canyons. It was pretty hot down there, not much breeze. The canyon walls rose up 100 feet in the air, and a couple of buzzards floated in the sky overhead. I was pretty tired, and my feet was kind of sore from walking over the rocks, so when I found a little spring of water, I jumped in and rolled around. It was pleasant, but not nearly as satisfying as a roll in the sewer. That was one thing about my old life that I would miss. I always looked forward to the middle of the day when me and Drover used to go down to the place where the septic tank overflowed, hop in and splash and roll around with our paws in the air, and then get out and have a good old-fashioned head-to-tail shake. You can say what you want about spring water, but If you ask me, it ain't near as refreshing or healthful as good old septic tank water. And I always liked the deep, rich, manly smell of it. A dog ought to smell like a dog, seems to me. And I never had no desire to be one of those town dogs that get their hair clipped and their toenails painted and get sprayed all over with that stinking perfume stuff. Perfume gives me a headache and stops up my nose. Anyway, that spring pool wasn't as refreshing as a sewer would have been, but I managed to cool myself down and satisfy my thirst. I wallowed around in it for 10 or 15 minutes, and when I was ready to get out, I noticed that I had some company. Those buzzards that had been floating around the rim of the canyon had dropped in for a visit. Two of them. They were perched on the ground near the edge of the pool, staring at me. I showed them some fangs right away. I mean, I try to be friendly and all that, but there's just something about a buzzard that don't sit right with me. Maybe it's because they're so ugly. Looks ain't everything in this life. Unless you happen to look like a turkey buzzard. And then they're pretty crucial. It's hard to be friendly to something that ugly. I gave them a growl. They bent their necks forward and stared at me. Then Wallace, the older of the two, said,
"We thought maybe you was dead."
Thinking gets birds like you into trouble. Run along, I got things to do. They didn't move, so I stepped out on dry land and shook myself. Throwed water all over Wallace. He dropped his wings and took a couple of steps backwards.
"He ain't dead, Junior. You made a mistake."
I tell you, he's dead, Pa. I just know he is.
Junior seemed to have a little stutter problem.
When I pick up a signal, something's dead. Remember the ground squirrel? I picked him up at 500 yards, and what did you say?
Wallace frowned and squinted one eye.
"I don't recall. What did I say?"
You said I was seeing things. You said my eyes was hooked up to my
belly button, uh-huh. It's coming back now.
You said I didn't have enough experience, and when I got as old as you, maybe I'd mount to something.
I was trying to be optimistic, son. You can't blame me for that.
Wallace burped, and the whole canyon went sour.
Dang, I'm hungry.
I'm telling you, Pa, he's dead. I picked up the signals.
They moved a little closer and looked me over real careful.
Junior, if he's dead, how come he crawled out of that water hole?
Beats me.
And how come his eyes are open and he's looking back at us?
Beats me, but he's dead.
Maybe so, son. I never claimed to know everything.
You did too, yesterday morning.
All right, I take it back. Hey!
His head shot up in the air.
I'm starting to pick up the signals now. He is dead, you're right.
I told you so.
They came towards me. I watched them and lifted my lip on the right side.
Whoa, Junior! Hold it, son! Did you see that lip go up? Did you see them teeth? Looky there, son! See what I'm saying?
Junior stretched out his skinny neck and studied me for a minute.
That don't mean nothing. I'll prove it.
And with that, Junior marched up and pecked me on the head. As you might imagine, I didn't care for that, and I took a snap at Junior and relieved him of a double handful of feathers. The buzzards went running for cover. The old man tripped over a rock, went down, hopped up, and kept going, looking back over his wing the whole time.
I told you he wasn't dead!
But Pa...
I told you once! I told you twice! I told you three times!
But Pa...
You're gonna keep fooling around and get us hurt one of these days.
But Pa, what's that around his neck?
Huh?
They were back to looking at me again.
That's where the signals are coming from. The thing around his under his chin.
Oh, Wallace's eyes popped open, and a smile came over his beak.
I believe you're right, son. It's a chicken head.
Wallace put on a pleasant face, for a buzzard, and came waddling over to me.
Hi there! You new around here?
Maybe.
I'm Wallace, this here's Junior, and we was just... What would you take for that chicken head?
What you got? I went into a huddle, then the old man said,
Tell you what, neighbor, times is hard right now. My eyes is going bad on me, and Junior's a little on the simple-minded side of things, and we haven't had a good meal in 3 days. We sure are hungry, and we sure could use a chicken head right now till our luck changes. We'd have to take it on credit is the long and short of it.
We'd do you a favor sometime.
Wallace nodded his head.
Yes, we would. We surely would, because we never forget a good deed.
I thought that over. Seemed to me that trading a stinking chicken head for a buzzard's goodwill was about an even swap. You couldn't take either one of them to the bank. Tell you what, boys, if you can chew the string in half, I'll let you have the head. Their eyes lit up, and Junior started towards me. Only the old man slapped him across the mouth with his wing.
I'll handle this. You just stand by for further orders.
Wallace waddled over and squinted at the string. He leaned out his neck and took a bite. Got my ear instead of the string. I yelped and jumped away.
I'm sorry, Dern, I'm sorry. It's my eyes. Let me try again.
All right, try again, but leave the ear where it sits. He tried again, and this time he found the string and chewed it in half. Just as soon as the head hit the ground, Junior made a dive for it, swooped it up in his beak, and ran off. The old man went after him, flapping his wings and stumbling over rocks and things.
Junior, you come back here! Junior!
They fought over it for 5 minutes. First Junior had it, then Wallace had it, then they got so busy fighting that it fell to the ground. Chicken Hawk swooped down and picked it up, and that was the last they saw their supper. It stopped the fight.
See what you done?
You done it, because you're so greedy.
It was about dark by this time, so I found me a comfortable spot and curled up for the night. Junior and Wallace argued back and forth for another hour, until at last they shut up, and we had some peace and quiet. I was drifting off to sleep when I heard Junior's voice.
Pa?
What?
I'm hungry.
You ought to be after the way you acted.
Pa?
What?
You ever eat a dog?
I raised my head. The first son of a buck that comes creeping around me in the night's gonna get his legs tore off, one by one. Didn't hear another sound out of them birds for the rest of the night, and they didn't stay for breakfast. Actually, there wasn't any breakfast. And then there wasn't any lunch. Long towards the middle of the afternoon, it occurred to me that if I wanted to eat, I would have to get out and hustle some grub. I left camp and lit out north, figuring I would scout the head of the canyon. I hadn't gone very far when I stopped dead in my tracks. I heard something, kind of a clanking sound. I slipped behind a bush and studied the country ahead. I kept hearing that sound, but I couldn't see what was causing it. Then my sharp cowdog eyes picked up some movement. At first glance, it appeared to be a medium-sized, bushy-tailed dog stumbling around without a head. Well, that didn't make any sense. I'm not so easily fooled. My years of security work told me that there was more to this thing, so I decided to investigate. A dog without a head? I didn't believe it. I moved closer and pieced together the following details. 1. The subject wasn't a dog. He was a coyote. Age, approximately 3 years and 5 months. Weight, 37 pounds. Length, including tail, 43 inches. 2. He was not a he. He was a she, meaning a female of the species. Rather homely, as coyotes tend to be, but not without charm. 3. Subject had stuck her head into a Hawaiian punch can with the top cut out. A can had lodged around her ears and gotten stuck there, leaving her blind and helpless. One of the first rules you learn as a cow dog is that cow dogs and coyotes don't mix. They're natural enemies. The former devoted to protection of home, livestock, and civilization. The latter devoted to a dissolute style of life based on raiding, depredation, and uncivilized forms of behavior. In other words, I had every reason to walk away and leave the coyote to her fate, a slow, lingering death. In this business, you can't be sentimental. Still, death inside a Hawaiian punch can seemed too cruel even for a coyote. I just couldn't walk away and leave her to die, even though I had a feeling that if I helped her, I would regret it. Afternoon, ma'am. My name's Hank the Cow Dog. Appears to me that you're in distress. She heard my voice. She bristled and tried to run away. Didn't go far, though. Ran into a rock. She stopped, lay flat on the ground, and didn't move. I recognized this as the natural sneaky reaction of the coyote breed. When you catch them red-handed, if they can't run away, they'll lie flat on the ground. I suppose they think they're blending into the surroundings. It's hard to say what they think. Coyotes are different. You don't need to be afraid, ma'am. I'm here to help you. She didn't say a word or move a muscle. Lie still, and I'll see if I can get that thing off your head. I don't know how much of this she understood. Coyotes don't speak the same language as dogs, don't you see? Some of the words are similar, and some aren't. Modern Doglish and the coyote dialect both come from the same linguistic root, which was the ancient language spoken by our common ancestors many years ago before the species split into Dogus domesticus and Dogus coyotus. This is pretty technical stuff, and I don't want to bore anyone, but it's important that you understand these things. Well, it just so happened that I was fluent in the coyote dialect, so I decided to address the lady in her own language. Me not hurt Missy Coyote. Me friend. Me help Missy. Missy have trouble.
You not hurt?
Her voice echoed inside the can. Me not hurt. Me help. Missy Coyote lie still, not move. Hank fixy real quick. For a long time she didn't speak. Then,
Missy lie still.
It was important that I got the point across to her that I was a friend, don't you see? Because it would have been typical coyote behavior for her to jump up once I got the can off her head and tear off one of my ears. They're just a little bit crazy, them coyotes, and you got to be careful. Anyway, she lay still while I hooked my front paws around the can and started pulling. I pulled and I tugged and I strained and I grunted. And finally, the can popped free. That's when I got my first look at Missy Coyote's face. I'm not one to gush or be overwhelmed. Let's get that straight right here. My years in the security business have trained me to look upon most things as mere facts. Facts to be gathered and studied and analyzed. I mean, I'd seen women before. Lots of them. Scads of them. I'd been through times in my life when women were hanging all over me, and I literally couldn't take a step without bumping into an adoring female. If you're a cow dog, you get used to this. It's common knowledge that cow dogs are just a little bit special. Read your dog books. Ask anyone who knows about dogs. Check it out with the experts. They'll tell you that women flip over cow dogs. What I'm saying, and I'm just trying to put it all into perspective, don't you see, is that I wasn't one of these dogs that chased women all the time or even had much interest in them. know what? When I seen Missy Coyote's face, with those big eyes and that fine tapered nose, I got weak in the legs and kind of swimmy in the head. She was the, by George, prettiest thing I'd ever laid eyes on. Missy Coyote, pretty. She was still blinking her eyes against the glare of the sun. Guess she'd been in that can for a day or two. When she got used to the sunlight, she looked me over real close. Then she smiled. I melted. I mean, I actually fell over and started kicking my legs in the air. It was an unconscious, unwanted response, not the kind of reaction you'd expect from a professional cow dog. But, as I've pointed out before, I was only flesh and blood. Missy didn't understand my spasm, I reckon, and she came over. Had her head cocked to the side like this. Oh, well, you can't see. She had her head cocked to the side.
What wrong? You sick?
Yeah, I'm sick, all right. I need to get out of here. I struggled to my feet and tried to leave, but my back legs didn't function.
Not leave. Stay. Tell name.
I was sure she could hear my heart beating. I could. It was about to take the top of my head off, to be exact. Me, Hank. Her eyes brightened.
Pretty name. Hunk.
Not Hunk, Hank.
Yes, Hunk. Pretty name. Me like. Hunk.
Whatever you say.
Me called girl who drink blood.
Girl who drink blood?
You like?
There wasn't a whole lot of poetry in that name, seemed to me. Her old lady, or whoever named her, must have been a real barbarian. Me no like. Me call you Missy Coyote. Like Missy Coyote more so. Bloody name not pretty.
Bloody name pretty to Coyote. Coyote like blood. Make grow strong. Keep hair pretty in winter. Hunk no like blood in winter?
Hunk eat co-op dog food in winter. No need blood.
What means co-op dog food?
No can explain. Too complicated.
Why Hunk here? Not at people place with many building and house with chicken.
Hank get mad at people. Quit job. People no understand. Hank no more guard chicken. Hank follow outlaw trail.
Outlaw trail dangerous. Live out in wild. Coyote around. Coyote not like Hunk.
I decided it was time to turn on some of my charm. Just a little at a time. Didn't want to give the girl the full load all at once. Missy Coyote like Hank? She smiled. Mercy. Made me weak in the legs again.
Missy think Hunk cute.
Oh, heck, really? Me cute?
But other coyote not think so. Missy have brother named Scrunch. Not like ranch dog. Hurt if fine.
You're Scrunch's sister? She nodded. I knew all about Scrunch, the most notorious outlaw coyote in the whole country. He was big, mean, and utterly heartless. He'd probably killed more chickens and barn cats than any three coyotes on the ranch. And it was common knowledge that he'd kill a stray dog just for the sport of it. As a matter of fact, me and Scrunch had met on the field of battle and had fought to a draw, which I had considered a victory. That was back in the winter, January, as I recall. Yes, it was, because we fought in the snow. Scrunch was a real thug. How can a nice girl like you have such a bad brother? She shook her head.
Hunk, be careful. Maybe go back ranch. Not safe here.
I leaned forward and nuzzled her under the chin with the end of my nose. I ain't scared. Hank ready to fight whole family for Missy. I noticed that she was trembling. Thought maybe it was a result of my charm. Then she whispered,
"Hunk in trouble. Whole family here."
Huh?